I am so impressed. Look at the numbers of soldiers ready to go out on the streets. I want you to do something for me right now. Can you put your right hand out? Pat yourself on the back and say, like Ray Charles used to say, I'm in the right place, baby. Come on, we didn't do that with attitude. Come on, put it out. Pat yourself on the back and say, I'm in the right place, baby. When most of us know that story about the Sisters Act, when Whoopi Goldberg was with those nuns that day, okay? I really have forgotten if it's the first one or the second one. And she was trying to get them to get some attitude as they sung, right? Okay? And so she says to them, the sisters were singing their hearts out that they thought, okay? And so they looked so pious, y'all. They looked so beautiful, y'all. They looked so holy, y'all. Had their hands folded properly, fingers pointing to the sky like the nuns used to teach us, okay? And they were trying hard. And they were singing, but something wasn't right, Kenneth. Something just wasn't right. And so Whoopi Goldberg says to them, stop! She said, just stop. You know why you can't sing? And the nuns were all flustered. Oh, you know why you can't sing? Oh, she says, because y'all don't have no attitude in this thing. We're going to have attitude to evangelize y'all. Like Patti LaBelle says, a new walk, a new talk, and a new attitude. I want to start with a little handout that Father prepared for you. And it says something on the side of it. It says, Jesus All-Star Team. I want to know if you're part of the All-Star Team. It's a threefold. Jesus All-Star Team. Everybody got it? All right, let's read it. Just the title. Jesus All-Star Team. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, you and me. All right, let's say it with some attitude like we can believe it. Jesus All-Star Team. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, you and me. This evangelization experience is a time that we remember in Scripture this story. And we all know this story, and we're going to do it a little later in a more intense fashion. But the story about Jesus calling Peter and the apostles to join him. And one of the things that they said to Jesus is that we've been fishing all night. How many of y'all worked all night and still don't see no results for it? Something didn't show up in the paycheck. All right? Something didn't materialize, fishing all night, and they don't have nothing, empty-handed in the boat. But Jesus says, as y'all going to do soon, push out. Push out to the deep waters. That's where the catch is. Deep waters. That's where the catch is. Sometimes it's not just around your little corner with the people you know, but you're going to have to push out to the deep water. Just want to talk a little bit, as you see on the inside, I'm not going to be able to do these 5 points of the outline of the story. It looks something like this. There's an outline at the top. I'm going to quickly go through some of them because I got 1 hour and 15 minutes, so I'm trying to utilize this well, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about the definition, a little bit about clues that we receive from Jesus, a little bit about clues about evangelizing through the early apostles, and then some evangelizing enhancers that were done with some research through the Gallup poll that really are significant in the African-American community. And then I'm really going to stop after that because I want some of us to do some interaction ourselves. In Baltimore, we have a four-week course that's called Evangelization, How to Become Confident and Comfortable. I call it the double C's. Confident and comfortable in evangelizing. So we would have used 4 weeks doing this, and so I'm just giving you brief segments of it. I will be more than happy to come back at another time if you so desire it. But I want to start off with a story about how I got involved in evangelization. Teresa was minding her own business. Can somebody say, minding my own business? And I was a third grade teacher, y'all, okay? And this was part of my Y and R days, young and restless. Come on now, all right? It's about 30 years ago, 30 pounds ago too, okay? And it was one of them days when I used to teach at Father Charles A. Hall School in Baltimore, Maryland. I was a third grade teacher. And I loved it. It was just absolutely super cadrefragilistic, espialidocious. It was just so wonderful for me. But what this day in particular, them little children got on Teresa's nerves. So when they were packing up their stuff, getting ready to go through the cloakroom, getting their coats and stuff like that, Teresa was packing up her stuff too. Because you know that's how it goes sometimes. It was a Y and R day, okay? So anyway, I was packing my little stuff together, and we got out about 2:35, I think, something like that. It was 30 years ago, so I'm not quite sure about the time. So I was packing up, got my little stuff, and it was the springtime of the year, too. Maybe that was the reason why the little children got on Teresa's nerves, but it was the springtime. So I packed up my stuff. When they was walking out in line, I was walking right behind them. I was heading on out the classroom. So Teresa only worked about 10 minutes from where she lived. So Teresa got home and took what we used to call a tasty cake break. Laid down or what have you. I was in the bed, y'all. I was in the bed by 3 o'clock, 3:15. Okay, so look, I'm living at home. I hadn't gotten married or anything, so living at home. And about around 4 o'clock, the phone rang. Now, I always tease people that I come from a one-phone family and a one-TV family, okay? But it was a whole lot of us, but we all lived in this one house. And I think I was the third to get married when I left out, so it was a whole lot of us. So the phone rang, so I picked up the phone, and it was this priest named Father Callahan. And he was at this church called Corpus Christi in Baltimore, where we have it's a great arts corridor in Baltimore, near the Lyric Theater, if you know some other things, not too far from the Inner Harbor, because I know people come over a lot. And he calls me up, and I also should say that I'm a daughter of a deacon. But at that time, my daddy wasn't a deacon, but he knew I loved the church. He knew I loved working in the church, and I knew I loved my job, and he would give me some cues. Thank God for fathers like that who walk with you. And my mama was beautiful as well, y'all. So anyway, I pick up the phone, and it was Father Callahan. And he says to me, he says, Teresa, can you have dinner with me and Father John Sewell? Teresa was the daughter of that deacon, so my antennas went up. Did, 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 did. I remember my father telling me, Teresa, when a priest call you up, Monsignor Pope, when a priest call you up for dinner, it ain't for free. They want something. He said they categories, y'all. I want to give y'all a tip here, okay? They're categories. If they want you for dinner, that's a big one, okay? If they want you for lunch, it's a middle-sized request, okay? If it's breakfast, that may be a little mediocre, okay? But if they ask you for dinner, it's what, y'all? The big one, okay? So he says, Teresa, just be careful about that if they ask you for dinner, Teresa. Okay. So I said, Father Cal, and this is why I say I was stupid, y'all. I was goofy and stupid, and that's why I call it my YR days. When I look back at it, I didn't mean any disrespect, and I know, and I really was a really kind of a quiet person. I was good in front of children, but I was really a quiet person, okay? So I said to Father Cal, I said, Father Callahan, you ain't got to take me out to dinner or do no dinner for me. Just cut to the chase. What do you want? I don't talk to priests like that, but that shows you that was a Y&R day. It was a Y&R moment, y'all. So he says, well, Teresa, this is what John Sewell and I was talking about. We just had been here at Corpus Christi Church just over a year. We walked in the doors. We are in a very, we're in this community of Bolton Hill, and I'm just telling you this part. He didn't say this, but Bolton Hill is the area in Baltimore where many doctors live at, from Johns Hopkins, T. Rowe Price people. You got to have some moolala. Can somebody say moolala? You got to have some moolala to live there, okay? And this was Miss Cha-Cha-Cha with no moolala, okay? All right. So anyway, he says to me, so he says, well, we've been here, and we've just taken it over from the Jesuits, and it was 50 people in here, 50 people in this parish. And he says, really, we know that our parish boundaries go across North Avenue. North Avenue is something in Baltimore, okay? But it's also economically, it defines the economics where people live in Baltimore. And he said, our parish goes all the way up to Drew Hill Avenue. So there was Reservoir Hill, which was predominantly black, very poor. And here was this church in Bolton Hill, predominantly white and very rich, okay? So he said, we don't want to go up to Reservoir Hill. Wait a minute. We want to evangelize in Reservoir Hill, but we think we need someone who is of African descent to be with us there. And so we're calling you up. We wanted to have a conversation to see if you would consider serving as a coordinator of evangelization. Now, this is the 70s, y'all. It's about on 78, 79, okay? So that's a word we didn't hear that much, right? Okay? So this was 78, 79. We wanted to know if you could consider, you know, serving in that capacity. I said, Father Callahan, that's impressive. That really is a lot of responsibility. And he's all quiet on the phone. I said to him, that warrants some discernment and prayer. And he said, yes, yes. I'm thinking he's got a little question mark on his mind. Yes, yes. He said, well, Teresa, how long, if you're going to serve as coordinator of evangelization, he says, how long do you think you need for discernment or to go down in prayer? I said, Father Callahan, something as big as that warrants 40 days and 40 nights. At least 40 days and 40 nights. And he says to me, oh, really, Teresa? I said, yeah, Father. Don't forget, I'm a daughter of a what, y'all? A deacon. So I said to him, yeah, I think at least that time. So he says, well, if you come to some conclusion prior to the 40 days and 40 nights, would you give me a ring? I said, Father, I got this number. I'll be happy to call you up and let you know. Put the phone down on the hook. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what that man just asked me about. I didn't know what he was talking about. That's why I said the 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm clear on the ministry of catechesis. I was clear about that. I was clear about, you know, doing Sunday school. I was in charge, even though I was young, of the sacramental prep at my parish. I understood that. I got that. But I didn't understand the word evangelization. All right, put a pin in that, okay, y'all? All right, the same day. When them little children got on Teresa's nerves. This is a third grade skill, has maintained itself to be a third grade skill since 30 years. You teach in the second semester prefixes, suffixes, and root words. Do letter writing, multiplication tables. I got that, okay? I have been teaching for a good while, third grade, okay? So I said, well, this ain't no thing. Just because Teresa don't know what that word evangelization means, I'm going to go look it up in the dictionary. Go into the dictionary. Now, this is about 4:30, okay? I'm looking in the dictionary. And I see what Mr. Webster says. And I said, you know, I'm just a third grade teacher. Evangelization, 5 syllables. That's a big word. And it's answered by another big word, proselytization. I said, this doesn't cut it, but I love words. I love words. So I began to look at some of the italic sentences that were related to the word evangelization, and it says it's of Greek derivative. Teresa looks at the watch and said, I got this, Teresa, because see, I was bold then, young and restless. It didn't matter to you, you know, it just didn't matter what you do. You call, you got a telephone for a reason, right? Okay, so I say, oh, Greek, its meaning is Greek, and it's a Greek derivative of a word. So I go call down, right down the street from Corpus Christi Church was a Greek Orthodox church called Annunciation. So I call up to the rectory. That's how I roll, you know? Why not? Why not call Father and ask them what the word was? But I didn't want to tell him. Exposed. So, you know, like my mama used to say, it's one thing exposing your ignorance, yep, to people you know. But people who you don't know, when she found out, when my mama found out when I was going, I was doing some workshops around the country, she would help me out because it started before I got married. So I'll be leaving the house, and she said, "Now, Teresa, it's one thing to be a local fool. Please don't go national for me. Don't go national on me." She said, "Cause see, people locally, they're gonna love you, but people, don't go out there and be just off the course, you know." So anyway, I call up to the priest, and it was I can imagine, but I never met her. Sweet little lady, you know how we got those sweet little ladies on the telephone to protect our priest, you know, even though this is a Greek Orthodox church. So this lady calls, "Hello, this is Annunciation Parish. May I help you?" And I said, I didn't even know the man's name. I said, "Yeah, can I speak to the pastor?" And she said, "Can I ask you what's the nature of your call?" Daughter of a deacon. I said, "Of course you can, dear lady." I said, "Would you tell him that I have a theological and pastoral concern that I would like to talk to him about?" Don't that work? She said, "Oh, I'll get him right away. So I talked to the pastor, and let's look at this, y'all. I talked to the pastor, and I said, "Father, look, I just got a phone call about evangelization, and I just looked it up. But I really haven't gotten the full meaning of what the word means. It didn't hit my heart." And that's just exactly how I said it. He said, "Write down the word evangelization on any piece of paper you got. Now you can just look at it on someplace here. Just look at the word evangelization someplace. You see it? You see it?" He says, this was my third grade class. He said, "Circle the root word." Now, you know what a root word is? A small word inside of a big word, okay? He says, circle the small word inside of the word evangelization. Y'all see it? What does it say? Angel. Come on, y'all. Angel. I said, "Wow." He begins to quiz me about stories in scripture of angels. Let's hear them, y'all. Let's hear a story of angel. The Annunciation, okay. Who was involved with that? Gabriel, okay. What's his name? Gabriel. Who else is an angel that we know that's Raphael, okay. All right. Michael, okay. How do each one of those words end? With the word E-L. Whenever you see the word E-L, it means of God. Samuel, Daniel. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. He didn't teach me that. I credit that to the Ecumenical Institute at St. Mary's Seminary. Okay, all right. But angels, we got Gabriel, we got Raphael, we got Michael. What other stories we know in Scripture of angels? Who was God in the tomb? We sometimes forget that. Angels. Who beckoned Moses to the burning bush? Angels, okay. How did they get out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Come on now. Who helped Tobias to find a wife for his son? It was an angel, okay? Angels. What else do we know? Who was singing La 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 on Christmas Eve? Angels, okay? All right. And there's so many other stories of angels. What he was saying is this. He said, the Greek translation of the word angel in its loose term, put your seatbelts on. I want you to put them on. Come on. Put on your seatbelts. Its translation loosely in Greek means help is on its way. Amen. Help is on its way. EV and EU are sometimes synonymous as a prefix. Good help is on its way. I-O-N-T-I-O-N at the end. The act of good news or goodness coming towards you, it's on its way. That's what the word evangelization means. That's what the word, the good news that help is on its way. The good act that help is on its way. When y'all are out there, teachers and preachers and cookers, help is on its way. Okay? So I'm getting back to my daddy. I'm impressed that this brother done told me something that I can be something else beside Y and R. Come on, y'all. I can do something else. And don't forget, that was that day them little children was getting on Teresa's nerves. So I go to my father, and I enjoy teaching. I go to my father, and I tell him what has just happened. And I said, they want to know if I could consider that. He said, Teresa, let me tell you something. He said, you ain't all that. He said, this is what I think you should do. Since you done told them 40 days and 40 nights, why don't you just go up in that community and just walk the streets? Just walk them. See how you feel. And then he said to me, and don't forget, Jesus is always closest to the poor. Come on now. He said, it may be the way you want to get to heaven. Because right now, he didn't say right now. He didn't say it. In many ways, I'm grateful that in my life I loved being near the church and church people because they love you. No doubt about it. That's a great message, too. If you think you are broke, busted, and disgusted, go to a church because they will love you just as you are. And so he says to me, don't forget that. And I start walking the streets. And I was very humbled, y'all, because in many ways, like I said, I'm from a big family, 7 in my family. I got two sets of aunts and uncles that have 16 or 12 children apiece, okay? All right, I come from a big family. And the point that I'm saying is that, you know, we all grew up with potato holes in our socks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, however, when I went up on Reservoir Hill, didn't see something like that in my life. Because we were never without food, shelter, and love, okay? So I came back and I said to my father, that's a big job. I understand how to write a curriculum. I understand how to do some learning stations and bulletin board. And I think I can communicate well with children. But this is going to be a challenge. And so my father said, it's through the challenge. Come on, y'all. And surrendering yourself to the mission that God will have his way, okay? All right. So I wanted to say a little bit more about the word evangelization. It's a Greek term, and Pope Paul VI truly is our leader, giving us direction about the need of evangelizing. He says in the encyclical, Evangelization in the Modern World, this one thing that's so important, I think, in the ministry of evangelism. He says, evangelization means to propose the truth of the Gospels, okay? We are living in rock and roll era. Can somebody say rock and roll? I'm not talking about Elvis Presley. I'm talking about the challenges that confront us in our daily lives. They happen in our homes, amen. They happen in our families, amen. They happen in our community. Wait a minute, they happen in our church. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, there's a little African proverb that says this, and that's why we have to evangelize inside just as well as outside. Y'all with me? Okay, it's this. Everybody who's singing hallelujah in the church ain't getting to heaven. Okay, come on, y'all. All right. So we got to make sure we're proposing the truth inside and outside. And you know what we have to propose as a truth to many people? Many, many people, they don't get it. They don't get the fact that he loves you in spite of or despite of. And all one of our messages of truth is, he loves you. You ain't the only one who's been broke, busted, or disgusted. Life's going to kick you. Dr. Diana Hayes says this line, and it's so true. She says, to live, and I'm going to use this when I go down to Charlotte, to live is to participate in a religious drama. Can somebody say drama?
Drama.
To live is to participate in a religious drama. So what do we do as evangelists? We propose the truth. It don't have to be this way if you know Jesus. It don't have to go that way if you know Jesus. It don't have to be. Sometimes we go through the worst of things so we can empty ourselves up so he can fill us up with his grace and mercy. That's the truth. We also have to call by name evil things that are in society that ain't right. They call racism, materialism. I know that. We got to talk about why some people, this is a story that, I have a three-year-old, my niece was 3 years old at this time. We were driving down to Catholic Center, crossing North Avenue, come on now, all right? And she sees, she lives in one of our counties, and she hadn't come to the town that month. She sees these children's toys on the streets on one block, and we go down. They were by themselves, no children were around, and with these toys, and we go down about three or four blocks. And she sees, she was even 3 or 4 years old. She sees all these children, but they didn't have no toys to play with. And they were just playing with each other, and I think that was a new phenomenon for her. But anyway, this was not that long ago. So she says, how come the children, she's sitting in the back seat, how come the children don't have nothing to play with? I said, dang, that girl had to ask me this, you know. That's a deep question. I said, wow. I said, well, some parents don't have enough to give to their children what they want to give to their children. They want to give it to them, but they don't have enough. And so we ride about three more blocks, and she says, it is not, 3 or 4 years old, it is not right that some children have something to play with and others do not. That's the question we have to, those are the kind of issues that we have to go and try. Why are there haves and have-nots? Why are they, okay? So the forces of evil that Pope Paul VI says. And then we have this great letter that's now 25 years old from the bishop, black bishops of the United States. They said there has come a time now that we need to evangelize our own. We need to share what we have heard and seen in our own experiences. And talk a little bit about where they got that line, what we have seen and heard, comes out of the Acts of the Apostles. And then the bishops of the United States, an entire bishops of the United States, about around 11 or 12 years ago, wrote in the United States bishops document, Go Make Disciples, the one that's asterisk at the bottom, and I would like us to read that together. I know it's small print, but can we read this one together? Jesus set the world on fire, and that blaze goes on even today. Christ's story is revealed through the Gospels. We have heard these stories of Jesus, and they will not let us rest. Wait. And they still set us ablaze. So the first goal in this document is this, to bring about in all Catholics such an enthusiasm for their faith that in living their faith in Jesus, they freely share it with others. Y'all with me? Are we on the same page? Ready, set, go? Somebody say go. All righty. Ready, set, go? Go. Okay. So this is what we do. They say that the story of Jesus is in the gospel. The story of evangelizing, how to evangelize, is also in their gospels. And I'm going to do the shortcut of this real quick. If you want to know how Jesus evangelized, I made this up. And I think it makes sense, okay? I think it makes sense. And it helps us, especially when you're developing plans. If you want to know how Jesus evangelized, it's just three things. Jesus shows us how to evangelize through where he goes, what he knows, and what he shows. Where he goes. Remember I told you he pushed out? Where does Jesus go, y'all? Come on now. Into the deep, to the poor, to the people who we have this invisible gaze, people who you didn't think he would hang out with. That's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees was on his case that much. How come Jesus is curing on the Sabbath? How come he's healing on the Sabbath? You know better than that. You were raised up in the temple just like me. Okay? He goes to people who are, my favorite line, broke, busted, and disgusted. That's where he goes. Your child's sick? He's right there. Somebody got a demon? He's right there. A woman was pulled up because they thought she was doing too much or too much by herself, I guess. All right. Okay. He writes in the sand. Where does he go? He goes to that woman at that well. How many husbands does she have? Oh, my goodness. And he read her. And she accepted it. He read her with charity. With charity. She goes out and she says, come and meet the one who knows everything about you. But you don't have to count on it because I just told you about it. Come see for yourself. That's our message. Come see for yourself. Let me tell you what he can do for you. Come see for yourself. Where does he go? After the crucifixion, as we hear the story of resurrection, he will even go to hell to get you. Y'all got it? Where he goes. So we have to make a decision. Am I just going to go on Capitol Street because I know I'm a little safe around here? And don't forget that story about Peter. He hanging with Jesus all day long. And he remembers, his antennas go up, he remembers, I got my mother-in-law in my house. She been held up in my house for a couple of weeks here. That scripture saying it. I'm putting a little bit in there, okay? All right? And he says, and he's been hanging with Jesus. He sees Jesus curing people, taking care of people, feeding them. And Peter said, that mother-in-law is still in my house. She's been in here too long. He says, let me take Jesus to my house so perhaps something can transform. I tell that story is because sometimes us church folks, we hang with Jesus in the church. We never take him home with us. We never take him home with us, and we don't tell our own. Let me tell you about somebody who knows everything about you. I had fun with that, and I have beautiful in-laws. I want you to know that. But the point of the matter is, we do. We as Catholics in particular, our faith formation has been to practice Catholicism, but not share Catholicism, and even less to share Jesus in our Christian experience of Catholicism. Okay? So we're going to have to break that mold, y'all. We're going to have to turn around. We all got stories when he made a way out of no way. What's impossible for human mortals is possible for God, with God. Okay? We got to take him home with us. What does he know? I love it. He knows that God's love, grace, and mercy is greater than any mess we find ourselves in. That's what he knows. And that's what we got to share with people. Okay? What does he show us? He is always pointing to God the Father. That's who really loves you. That's the one who created you. That's the one that gave you, come on, y'all, holy and divine DNA. Come on. Holy and divine DNA. If we are made in God's image and likeness, we got some divine principles inside us, right? And like the Ford commercial, I'm using that next week too, we built for the road ahead. We built for the road ahead. If we have that inside of us, we are built to do this evangelization ministry. It's already inside of us, okay? Y'all got it? Y'all read it with me. Jesus shows us, come on, Jesus shows us how to evangelize through where he goes, what he knows, and what he shows. Okay, I'm going to do it a little bit different here so that y'all can really make sure, because you know one part of our teaching is that you got to repeat certain things because it's worth repeating. Where Jesus goes, he goes to various places where other people would not go. Put that in your mind, other people would not go, okay? Jesus is always crossing over. Y'all going to love this. He is always crossing over those things that divide us. Humans from humans, come on. That's why the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Come on, y'all. He is always crossing over those things that divide humans from humans and humans from God. This is the reason why the word became flesh, so that we can cross back over to God. Come on, Teresa. All right, that's where he goes. What does he show us? Jesus is always revealing something about God the Father and his love for humankind. Pointing to God the Father, Jesus is always showing us ways to break down walls that exclude and build walls to include. Crossing over. God is always crossing over those things that divide. What he knows, God's holiness and love is so much greater than our own mess. So Jesus calls us to go beyond our human boundaries to become holy people. Y'all with me? How many people in here want to be holy people? You know, that's something we don't ask anymore. Thomas Merton tells a story about once he got, y'all know Thomas Merton is a great teacher. When he became baptized, he converted to Catholicism. One of his friends in New York, they were walking down the street, and his friend who had just witnessed his baptism says, "Thomas, how do you feel about this now that you have come into the church?" He said, "Well, I think I feel okay. It was a little mediocre, you know, no little fire in it, you know. I think it was okay. I've been looking for this moment, kind of, you know. It was kind of maybe a little bit boring," his answer. And so, but his friend gave him great advice. He said, "You know what, Thomas? To me, it is a shame that you go through life, all through life, not wanting to become a saint." Not wanting to become a saint. That's why we used to tell those stories back in the day of these saints, these stories of saints. We should emulate that because they were human like us, trying to get to heaven like us, okay? All right, y'all with me? How am I doing with time? I'm doing okay with time? All right, let's go now. We got the clues. Now, y'all know, y'all got the clues about how Jesus evangelizes. Let's turn the page over. How do the apostles evangelize? Okay, now, you know that if you want to form a community, you want to bring Jesus to others, the best thing you can do is learn, read the story of the Acts of the Apostles. In fact, I hope you had some time to just read all of it. Maybe before, are y'all going out in September, Father, Monsignor? Spend some time reading all of them. I even got a worksheet, but I'll leave that with Father, okay? All right. Read all of it. But I'm going to give you the answers real quick, okay? When the apostles were able, now they were the early church, they were Jewish men and women. Most of them came straight out of the temple, okay? But they find themselves restructured because of this experience of Jesus. In fact, they would sometimes worship in the temple, come back to someone's home and begin to tell stories of Jesus, and then break bread because he said, "Do this in memory of me." But they had the whole picture. They got it right. When they did the breaking of the bread, "Do this in memory," it wasn't just, which would have been a lot. It wasn't just the Eucharist, the body and blood. That was a supersized meal that can last forever. Y'all with me? But he says, "Do this in memory," all that he did in memory of him. Okay? And so they would leave. They would leave this whoever household they were with. And they would build walls around those who were sick and prayed. They would take the food to those who needed food and prayed. Okay? So you would see in the Acts of the Apostles what happened to them. The first thing is that it was bold preaching. It begins with Peter, who was wimping out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Somebody say, "A wimp." Now it's bold. Okay? He's preaching. They don't even know if he has something to drink. Because Hennessy wasn't around. Cavassia wasn't there, okay? All right? But he's bold preaching. He is preaching. It's something beyond those kind of drinks, okay? And they hear him in different words. Bold preaching means not just I'm kind of loud, I'm a little funny, I'm singing a little song. That's not bold preaching. Bold preaching means that man or that person has shared something to me. Like Patty said, I got new walk, new talk, and a new attitude. As a result of that message, I have found Jesus for myself. Because Billie Holiday had it right. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that has their own. Okay, that's bold preaching. We see that in Acts. Then there were opportunities for healing, what we have seen and heard. That's where that story comes out of. Peter and John walking. They say this man who is lame, laying down on the ground, God is asking, he's begging for, he says, "Silver, gold. Come on, let me hear y'all say it when you, if you really need it. Silver and gold, he's asking. And Peter goes by, the same one who wimped out at Gethsemane, and he says, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have I'll give you. And his name is?
Jesus.
He said, in the name of Jesus, stand up and you will be healed. We have Jesus among us. We may not have all of the moolala, some of these drug centers, but we got Jesus. And we need to take that. That's spiritual warfare. Do you know those drugs and alcohol are spiritual warfare? And you don't know nothing about it unless you had somebody in your family go through. Come on now. And us who have never tried those drugs, we are, I'm told, clueless about the power they have on them. But we have to tell them we know somebody. Wait a minute, let me do it the way I usually do it. I tell the devil to step back, Sally. Because I know somebody mightier than you. And his name is Jesus. Constant prayer, constant intercession. Don't ever give up. Got a phone call this week of somebody who we all grew up with, and he had a blood clot in his leg. And a sister wrote me a little note, email message. She said, could you pray? My brother is in the hospital, and he has already said he does not want to be resuscitated. He's tired of battling the drugs, getting clean, coming back, forth. It's been 20, 25 years. I know about that. Got a personal experience about it. So he said he don't want to be resuscitated. I write back to her as quick as I can. Dear sister, if you feel comfortable about this, because I'm not in that room, y'all. You know, if you feel comfortable about this, tell Lance this. And this is what I put it all in capital letters. Hold on. The worst may be over with. You just got to hold on. Jesus can do anything but fail. And don't forget, the Blessed Mother is our mother too. Come on now. I remember when my father was going through, I would stay at the nursing home so late at night. But when I got in the bed, I had my rosary and I kept on saying the Hail Mary over and over and over again. All of a sudden, it came to me one morning when I woke up very refreshed and renewed. The Hail Mary in the rosary is the Blessed Mother's lullaby so you can get some rest. Come on, Teresa. I'm laughing about that, but I really mean that. I witnessed it. I experienced it. You say it over and over again so it can give you the rest in the blessed assurance. In the blessed assurance. Okay. Healing. Testifying everywhere. That kind of goes with the second one. Wherever they went, they told a little story. Told a little story. Little girl, one time I was going through Sears. Now people don't say, Teresa, this almost sounds like an oxymoron, especially us who know how to dress real. This Teresa. Know how to dress real good, but I was running. It was like about 8:45 one evening. I was going the next morning to this little shower, wedding shower for somebody. So I said, I know Sears and Roebuck is open. And quite frankly, I kind of like their little lingerie and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you straight up, you know, they got stuff on my size, you know. All right. So anyway, I'm running through the store. I'm actually running through the store, y'all. And I'm looking through some garments because this young lady meant something to me. And I wanted to give her something very beautiful and you know, for the thing. So all of a sudden, I don't like people seeing me in the lingerie department, too. But anyway, I see this young girl. I see this young girl who is pregnant. And she comes up to me and she says, aren't you Mrs. Favors? I said, yes, I am, sweetheart. She probably was about around 23, 24 now. She said, in Baltimore, we have this awards celebration called the Mother Lion Awards Celebration where we honor people in leadership, service, and our youth. She said, I was the 19th so-and-so, I'm going to say 1992 awardee of the Mother Lion Award from, I'm not going to tell you a church, but from the certain church. I said, oh, sweetheart, I'm so glad to see you. What have you? I said, now what are you doing now? I could see she was pregnant. I said, what are you doing now? She said, well, Miss Teresa, Miss Favors, I don't go to head all day, and I don't go to the Catholic Church anymore. I said, Teresa, count to three. One, two, three. so that you don't be saying nothing goofy out your mouth, you know. Nothing stupid out your mouth. Now this is about 9 o'clock, and I know the last bus that leave out of Security Mall. Gone, okay? All right, it's gone. So I'm saying to her, I said, why don't you go to Catholic Church anymore? I remember your grandmother, and I did. At that moment, I remembered that her grandmother had raised her. I said, how come you don't go anymore? She said, Miss Teresa, the Catholic Church got too many rules and regulations. And I'm saying to myself, don't you know I know, you know? However, that's not always a bad thing, okay? That's not always a bad thing. So, and I know this was of the Spirit because I don't think this way, y'all. I'm a more creative thinker, but not in this way. All of a sudden, the Spirit gave me this little message. I said, well, so-and-so, how did you get here? And she said, I got a car. Like, you so stupid. Like, you know, I got a car. I said, and while you were here, did you have to go through any lights? She said, yeah. I said, well, what color were the lights? I noticed she thought I was really out to lunch on a midnight flight, you know. She said, they were red. I said, did they ever turn yellow? She said, yeah. And she said, and green, and big question mark on her face. And she said, this lady is really gone. I probably should have never said nothing to her because she's really gone. I said, so did you know that you had to take a little detour here or there? She said, yes. Yeah. Was there a sign or something there? She said, yeah, it was a detour sign. And she says, I said, okay. I said, sweetheart, every time you travel from point A to point B, they are legal rules and regulations to get you there. Now, the reason why we have those stop signs, detours, lights, yellow, green, and red, is to keep you safe. All those rules you thought were in the Catholic Church, they help you to get from destination A to destination B safely. It's a sign of love. All this foolishness about why we can't do this or that, go deeper than that. Most of the time is to get you from A to B safely. And that's a sign of love. Your grandmother didn't pull out the very best she had to you to hang someplace else, and worse yet, not to go to church. And you pregnant too? I said, sweetheart, I put my hand on it, because this is the best part, y'all. I said, I'm an old lady. I said, I'm an old lady. When you have to raise that child that's in your belly, you're going to love those rules and regulations that you just talked about, because they're going to help you safely get that child through. That was the Spirit, because Teresa don't think that way. But the point that I'm saying is you got to testify, even if it's at Sears or Robot, okay? Kmart, the big Kmart on the curb. You know, you see somebody falling down. Don't let me see any of my children with the police lining them up on the street. Curb, I turn it right around. What's your mother's telephone number? And they always ask me, how come you're doing that? I said, because I love Jesus. He told me to do this. He told me to do this. We got to testify wherever we are. Building relationships in the community of believers. So integral, and it's very important in our community. Building relationships in the community of believers, gathering together. Because you know why you got to gather together? You got to gather together to get the Eucharist so that you can be Mighty Mouse here to come to save the day when you get out on the streets. That's why you got to do it. Something about that, y'all. Then you got to teach the word. The word. You know, not what you think this is. The word. And, you know, some people say, well, Teresa, you know, I can't memorize those scriptures and stuff like that. I said, I can't either. I can't stand it when somebody going to kind of get you. They get to me, especially when people say, just out of 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 3, it gets on my nerve. You don't miss me then. You don't miss me then. I tell people, if you can't quote the word word from word, quote the transforming experience that turns somebody around. That's what you do. You tell a story. Don't worry about if it's one Luke. That's why they got references. Why you got to worry about it? I call my mind Swiss cheese, full of holes. Come on now, cobweb. I'm getting old, y'all. Don't worry about that. But tell them how he did, what he did, how he did it. You know, I often, the reading that we had today, he told them, brothers, don't take no clothes, no extra pair of shoes, no purse. Saying to myself, I can't go across town without my little, you know, my little corn purse at least. It's because he wants you to rely all the way with him, on him. Oh, ask the Spirit. You know, I said I counted to three, but I was praying. When those times when you hear Jesus being silent, the reading for this morning, he was going down in prayer. You asking him a question, he's going to answer it another way. He's praying in between because he knows it only takes one time to get it or mess it up. Uh-huh. Okay? So pray. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, he prayed. Always go down in prayer. Prayer changes things, but most importantly, it changes people. It changes people. So you see those things there. All right, I'm getting ready to wire down. Anybody want to say anything? Because I know I'm fast forward, you know, with my mouth. I don't mean to. I get so excited about what to say and what to share. That's more than anything else. Anybody want to say anything before I go to the last part? Anybody want to say something that happened to them or they agree, you agree with or disagree with? Every time I do a workshop, though, nobody want to talk to me. Didn't I say that at the retreat, y'all? Don't nobody want to talk to me. Huh? You got to pray about it first. Okay. Okay, 40 days and 40 nights. But how about somebody saying something that struck your heart before I go into the last part real quick? That struck you, that you thought had meaning? Okay. That's how God works. That's how God works. And you have to trust in that. And even though I talk about that day being just a tired day, I love teaching. And I was comfortable in that, you know. And I think today, you know, I could be a third grade teacher. If he calls me to do that, I would do that. But the whole thinking of praying through something where he's calling you, you know, and because of my father's strong life and walk with God, He never takes you to a place where he's going to abandon you. And he's not going to help. He's going to help you. You know, if God is calling you to do this, it will be well. We just have to hold on and listen. And listen. Sister, you wanted to say something. Yes, just listen. Yes. And, I have been so amazed in my older years following the lives of the two most recent popes. So often they begin a sermon or begin a specific teaching with these words, be not afraid. Fear is something. Fear can it can paralyze you and immobilize you. But let me tell y'all something about faith. Faith is the flip side of fear. It's the flip side of it. You know? All right. Let's just go to the last part since y'all don't want to talk to me. Going down to the evangelization enhances for the African American community. It's point number four. Those of us who can read it, could we read that out loud? Because this is a very important clue. It's not because I always say our primary goal is to teach, preach Jesus. But let me tell you what happens when you teach, preach Jesus. And this comes out of some work of Dr. Robert Hill, who used to be in Baltimore. He was fascinated with the Catholic Church's experience of trying to strengthen the African-American family. And he writes this. He was mentored by Andrew Billingsley, anybody who has a background in sociology would know these two names. And he taught at Morgan State University, Robert Hill, Dr. Robert Hill. And his secretary was Catholic, and she my cousin. So she used to get him to help us out on certain things from our office. This is what Dr. Robert Hill says, and let's all read that together. Dr. Robert Hill's research on the African-American family indicates that 76% of a black belong in some way or another to a church. 2/3, 67%, attend them at least once a month. That's important to know, y'all. Okay, go on. Religious orientation is noted as one of the strengths of African American families, and that families affiliated with church tend to have high education, income, and produce children who encounter successes in the work arena and educational settings. Christianity is still the leading religious preferences of African Americans. Baptists lead in the denomination most populated by church-going blacks, followed by AMEs, Methodists, and then Catholics. Now, the reason why I want us to read that was this. If you want to strengthen an African American family, what we need to do is to hook them up with church, y'all. That's the bonus of knowing Jesus. And they say, the research says, if they affiliated with a church, they have a higher education, higher income, and produce children who encounter success. So Jesus first, strength second. Y'all got me? That's another reason that should help us to get on out there and teach and preach Jesus. Now, the Gallup poll, and I know this is getting old, and I'm trying to freshen up my stuff now, but I haven't seen anything that is as profound as this research from the Gallup poll in 1990. They say that if what attracts and maintains an African-American to a specific Christian church, I rearranged this so that we can build something here, okay? All right? It's good teaching, okay? It's good teaching. And they're not talking about, to a certain extent, what we do in our church, not to say this is not important. We put a lot of our resources in teaching children, not ongoing education among adults. And they said, they even break it down. They said, you know what they want to teach? People want to know the word to guide them. That's number one. Second thing, wives want to know how to be a good wife and mother. Third, fathers want to know how to be good husbands and leaders of their family, because they really are the leaders of family. I know some people say, Teresa, watch it. We should want our men to be the leaders of our communities. Okay? All right? Then they're talking about how to raise the children. You go to the hospital. You have your baby. You go out of the hospital with maybe a few pieces of paper about immunization, and a little seat booster, whatever they call them, seats, you put in your car. Let you go and get yourself a high-definition television, y'all. You come out the store with a manual this thick. Y'all got it, don't you? How to raise our children in a Christian environment so that they don't have to always encounter the rock and roll, okay? Second thing they talk about is a good environment. This is beautiful. Your church dignifies human people when they walk through the door. Ain't no mess up in there. Stuff peeling off the walls. Papers all over the place. Looking tacky. We are worshiping a high God. He deserves that. And not only this, especially them women that would come in there with them hats, y'all look good when you praise God, too. Not that it matters, because he worries about your soul, but something dignified about that, okay? They're talking about, are we safe in our communities? What we got to do? And this is the last one, and some people think that, you know, Teresa may be out to lunch on this one, but they showed us in this evidence in this research, we got to see something in Scripture about some people that look like us in our stained glass windows and in all of our art. Gotta be something that look like us, because subliminally it will translate that heaven's for everybody but us. Okay? All right. Good music. Come on. Y'all are so blessed. So, 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 so blessed. So, 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 so blessed. What they're saying is this. They're not talking about one distinct area of music in particular, all gospel, all Latin, all this, all anthems, all spiritual. They said whatever we do, we like it all because we like music. Stevie Wonder, come on. We like music. And they said, whatever it is, it's got to be done right. With high respect for the music in our church. They said we got to have some preaching going on that means something to our lives. Come on. Y'all are so blessed. And you know what? You know what I'm worried about, y'all? Here lately, the daily readings have been readings from Jeremiah, and they're ready to put Jeremiah out. Y'all know they threw him in the well, right? Why did they throw him in the well? Because he was speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Wait a minute. The preaching sometimes that we hear in other churches, not this church. This is why some people don't want to tell us the truth, because they don't think we can handle the truth. So that now we got sermons talking about dogs and cats. Come on, Teresa. We want to know the truth, the whole truth, because my father used to say a half a truth. Tell me the whole truth, he would tell all of us, because a half a truth can send you straight to hell. So what I'm saying is, if we can, if there's something in particular that we need to address in our community, we need to send an email to Father. We need to say, you know, this is something. This is a spirit that's following us in this, and we need some preaching about that. That's what I'm talking about. Leaders. They're talking about leaders that go out there in the streets, leaders who make a difference in the community. The other pamphlet that I have, which you have in blue, we're not going to go through it a lot, is Operation Faith Lift. In the year of the Jubilee of Jesus, we had Operation Faith Lift. And Operation Faith Lift was a street event that we did all over the Archdiocese of Baltimore, came out of the Office of African American Catholic Ministries. We took a whole summer just praying, walking the streets, just praying, not doing no door-to-door, just praying, okay? And the Saturday before Labor Day, the first year, 2000, we particularly asked our men to get on the streets. Now, why would you think we wanted our men on the streets? We wanted our community to realize that our men had not left the village. They make a difference. So 400 of them from east to west, north to south in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, from in the African-American community, went door to door. We were in our communities praying. We were in our communities doing many other things. That's what people call leaders. And then the E is the only thing that's asterisk. This is Teresa's addition to this. So I want people to know that to make sure that you have the pure research that the Gallup poll had. I added the E. You cannot attract people if you're weak, if you don't understand where you're going. How can you complete your home assignment? How can you complete your homework if you don't understand the assignment God has given you? If so, then you can fail because you could be doing something that he didn't even ask you to do. Come on. Come on now, y'all. You got to have a clear understanding of your assignment. And your assignment is that you should be eager to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not a pew sitter, not a warm up the bench today, not a sometimes fidelity person, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? And Howard Thurman says this, if you are the disciple of Jesus, then you have to understand in your mind and heart that this discipleship is not a mood, it's not an emotion, it is an act of following Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then your container, your body, your soul becomes a place of God's presence. My brothers and sisters, you were very attentive tonight. Thank you for everything. Y'all were just so wonderful. And to God be the glory for the work that you will do in his name. Thank you so much.